Father, we pray for your leading this morning, Lord. We lift up those in the body right now, Father, who aren't feeling well or who are recuperating right now, Lord, from being blessed with a brand new baby girl. I just praise the Lord, Father, that everything went well. And oh, we just pray for this new baby. And I apologize. I'm thinking of the text, and I totally forgot the baby's name. And I'm so sorry, but Anastasia, we're going to pray for the baby. Oh, you're already here. Oh, my goodness. Wow, nice. You're amazing.
You go.
Praise the Lord. Oh, and Father, we thank you for this new baby, Lord. And we just a new beginning and just a fresh start. And there's just something so beautiful about birth, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you just bless that family, Lord. Just if they need any help, Father, help us just put it on our heart to reach out and do things just to help with this family, Lord. And we also pray for Nate, Father, who woke up feeling a little under the weather. Lord, we pray that it passes quickly, Lord. And just for anyone else here, Lord, that isn't able to make it, Father, either from not feeling well or exhaustion or whatever, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit just touches them and is with them this morning. But we do, Father, just pray for your leading, Lord. And it's not just because of the song that we're about to sing, but Father, I do just completely want your Holy Spirit just to fill this place and just to capture our hearts, Lord God, and to teach us, Lord. Help us to get out of the way, Father. Feel free to stand if you want.
There's nothing worth more could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I have tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the air. Glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence. Become more aware of of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
That's what happens to our sin and shame. It goes away. And the presence of our Lord, it cannot stand. Father, I do thank you for that, Lord God. I don't know how many of us that carried our sin, Lord, for so long, and it held us separate from you, Father. But I thank you, Lord. Sometimes we think this is just too easy. Like what, we just ask the Lord to forgive us and we just change, and then all of that junk that I had in my past is gone. Well, that's as easy as it is. You ask him to forgive you. And once you start making those steps, it's going to be a little bit hard letting go of those things. But once you get that freedom and you get that weight lifted off of you, it's so amazing. You're going to want more. Change me more, Lord. Teach me more. Teach me more to be like you. Help me to love those, Father, that I spent most of my life hating or not liking or not understanding. Father, give us wisdom, Lord. Wisdom beyond understanding, Father. Give us that agape love, Lord.
Your grace, so sweet, washes.
Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you have always heard me. But because of the people standing around, I say it, that they may believe that you did send me." And when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" He who was dead came forth, bound head and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go." Lord God, when we were born again, you said, "Unbind them and let them go." Help us to walk in that freedom, Lord. When death was arrested and our lives began anew, but it is you in us, the hope of glory, not our effort, but your Holy Spirit in us. And we thank you, Lord, for that new life. May we walk in that new life today, in Christ's name.
Temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
I pray that every morning we wake up, that's the first thing we say is, Lord, we need you. Father, we don't know how this day is going to go, but Father, we just pray that you guide our steps, Lord. Even if we wake up with attitude or we're stubborn, which I know maybe a couple of you are. I know I am just a little bit. But when I wake up, I just want to say, Lord, Father, I just lay everything down. I have all of these plans. I have this huge agenda. But Father, what do you want me to do, Lord God? What do you want me to lay down? Father, please guide us, Lord. If we're walking in your way, we can't fail. It doesn't mean it's going to be so easy and perfect. But you're going to use that to teach us and guide us and to grow us. So, Father, we say your will be done, Lord. Father, we don't know when our last days on this earth is going to be. I pray, Father, that we treat every day as if it is our last and that we worship you to the fullest. that anytime if we're having a hard time or if we do something that we're not supposed to do, that right away we just say, Lord, please just wash me clean. Just get this out of my mind. Just forgive me for this thing that I just did, or help me to mend relationships, Father, that are so broken right now, Father. Help me to do everything that I can today to the fullest in case today is when I have my last breath. Father, help us just to worship you in everything that we do, Lord. I pray for this body, Lord. I pray that we just keep growing, Father. For those here, Lord, that are just brand new Christians, Lord, I pray, Father, that you put an amazing hunger in them to want to get mature and deeper in you. And Father, for those who have been walking with you for 10, 20, 30 plus years, Father, I pray the same thing, Father, that we just get a hunger to grow deeper in your Holy Spirit. Mature us, Father. Help us to learn from the milk, Lord God, but I pray, Father, that we long for the meat, Lord. I pray protection over this body, Father. And a protection over the school, Father. That every single one of these children that are here being students, Lord, that you just protect their mind, Father, and help them want to just not only grow in academics, Father, but grow in you, Lord. We pray for every single one of the teachers, Lord. Father, I pray that you help them come to school every morning just with a purity of heart, Father, and asking for your agenda, Lord. And I pray that even for myself or any other homeschooling mom too, Lord, that we just want to give our children the best through you, Father. We give you this day. Amen.
Morning, everybody.
Morning, good morning.
All right. Hey, it's Sunday. You made it. Praise the Lord, right? Another week under your belt. All right, well, we've got some announcements to go over really quickly, and then we will jump into the Word of God. Last week we were talking about, in the book of Daniel, in chapter 7, we were talking about lions and leopards and bears, oh my, and prophecy, as we're going through the book of Daniel, and ribs and wings and all this stuff, and we're going to take a slight detour today for something very special. And so we're going to be a couple of anointings and a praying off. And so we just are going to do this. We're going to talk about something different today, and we're going to come back next week and finish up Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8. But today we're going to talk about shepherding and God's heart of a shepherd. Okay? So here we'll go through these announcements really quickly, if that's even possible for me. It's not. Somebody said that. No respect, I tell you. No respect. Well, that was my wife. It figures. Okay. So the first thing is, Debbie, where are you? Wonderful, amazing woman. Okay. So if you'll notice, I have this name tag. It was made by one of the kids. Thank you. Now, would you like to say anything about these name tags today? Can you grab the microphone? Like we have a. Thank you, Soph. You always do such a good job with that mic. You're really good at that. Thank you.
Mark and I, in the beginning, announced that we brought up doing the name tags because there were a lot of people that we couldn't put a name with a face. Mm-hmm. And
I'm Darren.
Thank you. Sure. Nice to meet you.
Great.
And some people have been really good about doing it. Unfortunately, we were sitting at the table last week, And he asked me if I knew who somebody was. And I said, you know, that, I don't, I'm just going to make it up, lady in the purple dress with the blonde hair.
That one.
Had no idea.
Yes.
Still, there are a lot of people that aren't helping us out. Please, we'd love to get be able to put a name with a face.
Yeah.
And it's a simple thing. We'll keep supplying the name tags.
Okay.
If people will help us out.
Supply the names.
Supply the names.
You supply the names. Okay.
Thanks.
And don't be like, oh, yes. Jerry, you have something to say? Mm-hmm. Sure. Please do.
I've got to swallow first.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Keep chewing. We're good.
I think the name tags are awesome.
Thank
because
you.
We all... I mean, we all have so many more people in our lives except here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you just can't remember everything.
That's right.
And it's so important to greet people by their name. It makes me feel good, like I'm part of somebody.
Ah.
And awesome. I know everybody in here feels that same way. And if you have a hard time filling out the name tags, take the one off that's on your shoulder and put and. Stick it on your car for the next time you come to church. That's what I've been doing with this one for the last few months. So, and anyway.
Thank you, Jerry.
Whatever that's worth, it's really important to be called by your name. Our names are very valuable.
Yeah, God says God says that same thing. Yes, one up here. Yeah, sure. Okay. Suzanne. All right, Sue, go for it. Oh, I have something for you. I'll give it to you in a second. Go ahead.
I've only been coming to the church for a few months, and at my age, remembering names is not the easiest thing for me to do. And I would be in a conversation, and they would say, well, yeah, you know so-and-so, and I'm going, no, I don't. Well, yeah you do.
We forget, yeah.
It is very important, especially if you're a new person coming in.
Yeah.
That, you know, at first it was like, okay, well, I don't want everybody to know who I am yet.
Yeah.
But
all right.
God knows my name.
Yes.
And I think that as a body, that we should know each other's names as best we can.
Right.
Because, like she said, it does make you feel that you matter.
Yes. And you know what you do, but that's helpful to that. And you know what? And that's the thing. And again, it takes extra time, and it's like, well, I need to, everybody. But you know what? It's preferring others' needs ahead of yourself. And so that's good. And so for people who are young like me, that doesn't matter. But for others... Of course, I jest. Mm. Okay, so yes, name tags, good. Laura, where are you? I saw you. There you are. Okay, we're going to bring you the microphone. Would you want to come up and talk for just a minute about the North River Care?
You
can do whatever you makes you comfortable. You can. Are you going to stay? It's up. Okay. Okay. Yep.
Our feet are planted.
Okay, that's good.
I did not put my name tag on. I'm Laura Keene, and I work at North River Care Pregnancy Center, which is a pregnancy center in Palmetto, and we educate and support and train up women who are facing an unplanned or a crisis pregnancy. And so I think it's perfect that Miss Anastasia, is that her name?
Yeah.
That she is here today because we work so hard for these precious babies.
Yeah.
We are a nonprofit, and so we rely on the generosity of others to keep us going. And so we have a... our annual banquet on October 4th, which is a Thursday night, and we are inviting anyone who would love to come and find out about North River Care. There is no cost to come. It's our largest fundraiser of the year. There's no cost. You're going to be fed a wonderful meal from Pier 22, and it's at the Bradenton Area Convention Center. So if you are interested in finding out more about North River, then come and see me. There's no cost to come, but we do need to know how many to prepare for. So if you would do me the honor of telling me your name before I am embarrassed and have to ask for it, I have the same problem. If my kids don't have their name tags on, I don't know who they are either. So if you are interested, come and see me. We would love to have you and have you learn more about what we do there. Thank you.
I'm sorry, what was your name again? Thank you, Laura. That's great. So, yeah, so we just encourage you guys just to head on out there and support them. I know they love the Lord, and what they're doing out there is a great work. And so just would encourage you guys, if you're interested, to go find out more information. And so we're so glad to support that and support them also as a church. Also, at the end of this month, Sunday, September 30th, we're going to be having an after-church picnic.
Yay!
Woo-woo! Okay, so now sometimes we'll do the testimony times. What we're going to do is we're going to have a regular church service, just like we do, okay? And then what we're going to do, everybody just bring a side to share. Now, realize that refrigerator is not going to hold all your sides that need to be refrigerated. So just bring some side dish to share or maybe dessert. And then what we're going to do afterwards, we're just going to go out and hang out. We might have something out there. We'll have games for the kids, maybe a big kickball game for the adults and kids. We're just going to have lunch together and just hang out. That's Sunday, September 30th, so we want to make sure we mention that. We'll provide the meat, whatever that is, and it should be a great time. Okay, just want to let you know in advance. If you're looking for things to do, Mandisa is coming to town, the Robarts Arena, October 19th. You can buy tickets at the Joy FM or the number up on the screen. Also, Big Church Night Out. We've talked to you about that many times, so you guys know. More Than Words Youth Conference at the Bradenton Convention Center, October 20th. See Amanda Panda and Josh for details, because we'd like to go to that. Okay, also, if you're interested in being equipped by, you know, for the saints, we have a couple of things. Thank you, Lord. Boy, these things just remind me. Okay, so also, if you guys are coming on our trip to Israel, and I printed it out. Where's Rebecca? Is she here? I saw her. She's in the nursery. Okay. I saw December here. Is December here? December? She's back there also. Okay. Well, anyway, we're going to be going to basically 12 nights, 9 ports. The guy by the name Dave Guzik. And so we're going to be hanging out with him. And so we're going to be going to places like Rome, you know, where Paul was at. We're going to be going to Greece, to Athens, to Mars Hill, to Cyprus, to Crete, to Malta. So if you guys would like to join us, please come see me. I think we've got about 10 to 15 signed up. And so we'd love to have you. Now, there's a waiting list. So if you are interested, let me know. We would absolutely love to have you. We'll go over all this stuff next week. But you guys know we have Loner Library stuff in the back. And before I forget, Nate's not here today because he's out sick, but he'll get a kick out of this, and so will George. Okay, so you know, like, was it last week that I was, like, not using the microphone, and then I got corrected? I can't remember. Okay, so so I got a text from, you guys remember Carrie and her family used to come here, and now she's moved up to, now she's up in North Carolina. So she sent me a message, and she said, please, would you tell the wonderful congregation to use the mic. We listen to you guys every single week. And so, and I know, Linda, you as well. Linda's visiting us. I think this is her last day before she goes back. She listens to us from up north as well every single week. So use the mic. I said, oh, George and Nate are going to tell me I told you so. So you guys can do that. You are absolutely right. And so there you go. Make sure you use the mic. All right. Is there anything else? Okay. Anybody wants to join us for prayer? Sunday mornings here at 9 a.m. It's awesome. We encourage you to come out. Men's Bible study and dinners, the first and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Wednesday, I don't think it's this week, yeah. Wednesdays, Transformers, youth group, Romans 12:2, youth group with Josh and Amanda Panda, going through the book of James. Our parenting course on Thursday. And then Shepherd's Art Christian School, maybe we'll share something about that next week. Okay, so again, we normally go through the book of Daniel, living a countercultural life, but today we're going to do something different. So if you would open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. And if you need a Bible, Elijah, Chris, can you grab some? Just raise your hand and Bible will be brought to you. All right. Oh yeah, we'll skip that. That's from last week. All right, we're going to be talking about being a shepherd leader, since we're going to be anointing a few people today as shepherds. We'll talk about that at the end. But, you know, when we're talking about shepherding and leaders, you know, some people like to, like, tune out. Well, I'm not a leader, I'm not a shepherd, whatever. You know, when you think about it, there's going to be some specific things for specific leaders in the church and ministries that we're going to share later from 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7. But you know, we're all shepherds in one sense or another. If you're following Jesus, you're following the good shepherd, right? But you know, he's also called you to be a shepherd or a shepherdess of people around you. You know, Josh, you're a shepherd of your family. You know what I'm saying? So you've got people, you've got grandkids in your life, you've got people at work, you're shepherding them. You know, Scott, you're a shepherd, believe it or not, you're a shepherd at your school. Moms, you're a shepherd of those kids. We've got teachers here that are shepherds in the school, in the Sunday school. We've got ministries you're involved with. You're shepherding someone, the youth group. You're shepherds. And so God has a message here for me. It's like he's saying for everybody. You've got folks at work, coworkers, somebody in your sphere of influence that God is calling you to shepherd. And God has a lot to say about shepherding, too much to cover. I was actually just going to do 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, and God said at the last second, which he has permission to do, oh yeah, you're going to do this instead. So, you know, this morning I'm like, Lord, are you sure? And he's sure. So we're going to go over and start off with Isaiah 40, verse 11. Now, God has a lot to say about shepherding in the Bible, you know. If you remember all the way back in Genesis chapter 4, Abel was a shepherd, right? Jacob was a shepherd. Joseph was a shepherd. King David before he was the king, right? Do you remember the prophet Samuel had him line up all the people? And he's like, God, which one do you want me to anoint? And is it the strongest, the biggest, the tallest? And then there was nobody. And then he said, oh, yeah. And the prophet said, hey, don't you have anybody else? He's like, oh, there's little David, but you know, he's just a shepherd. He's just a shepherding the sheep out in the field. And God's like, oh, a shepherd, shepherding sheep, taking care of the flock. Huh. Why don't you call him in here? Oh, yeah, that's right. Boy, these are like timed perfectly. And then he was anointed and became king over Israel. Or how about our friend Mo? You remember Mo? Okay, maybe Moses, you remember him. You know him by, well, we're a little closer, but no. Moses, you remember him? After he left his life of power and privilege, do you remember what happened to him? He went off for 40 years, and he tended sheep before God called him back. 40 years, just doing the menial, because God wanted to prepare his heart to lead not only sheep, but to lead his people and to take care of them. And maybe that's some of you guys in here. Why do I keep, I'm just doing this manual stuff. And God's just saying, I am preparing you for more and more and more. So don't get discouraged. Remember, God is using you as a shepherd. So as we go to Isaiah 40, verse 11, there's some things that that we can learn. So I get there myself. A second. And thank you for whoever printed this out, honey. Thank you, appreciate that. Now, in the Bible, when we're going to talk about some of these other verses in Isaiah, but also in 1 Timothy, it's going to talk about shepherds. It's going to talk about overseers. It's going to talk about those things. And some of those terms are going to be used interchangeably. So let's read Isaiah 40, verse 11, because we can get a good picture, even in the Old Testament, of what kind of a shepherd our Lord is, you know? And in Isaiah 40, verse 7, it starts off, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to go through it, okay? It says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that are young or have young. So the first thing he says in Isaiah 40, verse 7, is that, what? That's what I said. What? Oh, did I? I'm so sorry. That's what I meant. You guys need to hear my thoughts. All right. Isaiah 40, verse 11. It starts off with, he tends his flock. And I like that. Now, some of your translations, guys, might say he feeds his flock. And if it does, that's okay. That is part of it. You know, we need to be feeding the flock, the word of God, right? So who's ever in your sphere of influence, that's the main thing, feeding them the word of God. That's the only thing that's going to last forever, right? Heaven and earth are going to pass away. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. But it actually, the word in Hebrew has a deeper meaning than just feeding. Some of your translations say tend. I like that because tending has a kind of a broader scope. But the word in Hebrew is actually ra'ah. Does anybody know what that means? R-A kind of hyphen A-H, ra'ah. And so what he's saying, you know, he ra'ahs his flock. That means he shepherds. It's Hebrew for shepherd, right? You've ever heard the term Jehovah Rapha or Ra'ah? I should say not Jehovah Rapha, that's healer. Jehovah Ra'ah, that means it's a shepherd. And so what he's saying is he's shepherding his flock. And shepherding is feeding, but it's also, if you're in that sphere of influence, it's more than feeding. You've got to feed them the word of God. If you don't do that, they're going to die, right? Right? Just like sheep would die if you don't feed them. But it's more than that. A shepherd tends them. It shepherds them. That means if wolves come in, right, and they're trying to attack the flock, that means, you know what? He's going to get in there and protect that flock. That means he's going to care for them. If a sheep starts to wander off away from the faith, you're going to try to bring them back into the fold, right? You're going to try to bring that sheep back in. Pests are going to bother them. You're going to have to comfort them. You know, sheep are kind of silly. You know, sometimes they just tip over. You know, they need comfort. They need care. They need attention. They need leading. God is saying, I want you to do all that through me. Isaiah 40, verse 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd. And that's the second thing here. It says he tends, whose flock is it? We have to remember. That means wherever your sphere of influence is, you have to remember, your shoes are okay. It's not your flock. It's not your ministry. It's not your kids. I mean, they are your kids, obviously, you know, God willing. But you know what I'm saying. But really, it's his kids. They're his. You don't make it about you, the dad, or you, the family, or you, the boss, or you, the church, or you, the denomination. You remember, it is his flock. They're his kids, and you bring them to him. Does that make sense, everybody? You keep in mind who you're working for, right? You remind yourself, it's his flock. Because if you'll do that, whether they are in a good mood or a bad mood or receiving it or not receiving it, you'll have a better attitude because you remember it's his flock, right? And it says, so he tends his flock like a shepherd. And that, this is speaking more of leaders in the church, but it can still apply to us, where it says, and this is where these words are used interchangeably. We're going to read them a little bit later, but be shepherds. In Greek, it's not ra'ah. In Greek, it's like a poimo or something like that. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. So whatever it is, if it's your family, if it's your ministry, if it's the students, if it's the classroom, it's the Sunday school, whatever, be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care. Exercising oversight, and we're going to see that word, it means like an overseer, episkopos. And it says, not because you must, but because you're willing. Like some people will do the job, and I, let's be honest, if we're serving the Lord, we can have a bad attitude sometimes. Well, nobody appreciates me. Nobody cares that I'm sacrificing. Nobody even knows that I'm sacrificing all this. Don't do it with that kind of hard attitude because you must, but do it because you're willing. Listen, God saved you. Wow. You, of all people, me. He's got a plan for you. Don't take the jobs that he gives you like it's some big burden for you. I have to do it, okay. Be thankful that he's calling you. He's given you an opportunity to minister people. Wow, the king of the universe thinks, I'm going to use you. That's so cool. So don't do it because you must. Do it because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain. We'll talk about that later. Gosh, I think that eliminates half the TV preachers. But eager to serve. And that eliminates probably another 20%. Not lording it over those entrusted to you. I'm the pastor, I'm the leader of the ministry. But instead, be examples to the flock. Wow. Be examples to them. And then, this is the cool part. Look at this. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. You remember who you work for and what you're working for so that you don't grow weary in doing good, right? It says in Isaiah 40, verse 11, it says, he tends his flock like a shepherd and he gathers the lambs in his arms. And I love that. You think, well, why is he gathering? Why do we need to gather? And you know why? The Bible says in Isaiah that we're all like sheep. All we like sheep go astray. Sheep aren't all like myself. I'm a sheep. We're not the brightest tools in the shed sometimes. Do you remember that song? I don't know if you guys even know this song. I'm going to sing it, but I'm a bad singer. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Remember that song? We're all easily led astray. I've watched it 20 years of ministry. Sheep, I think I'll go over here. This looks better here. And I'll go over here. We're prone to wander. But Jesus is saying, I want you to gather them up. Help him to go his way. Yes, Elijah, I notice you're saying something. Soph, do you have that microphone? Thank you.
You know about what you said, how sheep aren't really the brightest?
Yes.
You know? Well, they need someone to lead them. Like, sometimes they would even follow each other. Like, many times sheep have been known to walk off cliffs and everyone else just follows them.
Almost like lemmings.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Sometimes we as sheep can be not so bright. We can be rebellious. Right? We can be stubborn. Somebody said that earlier during worship time. So true, isn't it? So, but God gathers them. You know, be a gatherer with Jesus. Luke 19:10 says that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Think of these people as lost. He's gathering them up. He's saying, come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Gather with them. In fact, Jesus says something pretty strong. He says, you know what? In Luke, he says, if you're not gathering with me, you're scattering. So he wants to gather them. It says that in Luke 11:23. He wants us to gather with him. He gathers the lambs in his arms. That tells me that it seems like he's getting his hands dirty. Do you know what I mean? He's gathering them up. Sheep are not the cleanest animals. Neither are we. We get into some dirty messes. And that means you're going to get your hands dirty sometimes. And that means you're going to need help sometimes. You can cry out to your king, your savior, your master shepherd, but also us. So we can be helping one another, gathering those sheep together. Do you know what I'm saying? But it just shows to me that God was touching people and in their lives. Now, I can't be in everybody's life. You are the ministers of this church. We need you to minister to one another. You know one thing I love doing? I love giving hugs when people come into this church. Right in the arms. It's not like, oh, I don't want to touch them. It's not I saw this Tim Hawkins video one time. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's like hand sanitizer. You could look it up on YouTube. He's like, we got to be careful in church. And he's like, you know, oh, hi, welcome to the church. How are you? So nice to meet you. Thank you so much. Oh, and these are your children. Oh, so nice to meet you. How old are you? Okay, 7. Okay, 3. Okay, great. And oh, and where are you from, you say? Oh, Bradenton, Florida. You know. Oh, but we're sure so welcome in this church. Glad to have you. You know what? We got to be careful a little bit. You know, but Jesus was hands-on. You know, he touched lepers. They were unclean. Nobody touched a leper. They were like, you know, those people, right? And Jesus actually would touch them and he'd heal them. Imagine what that feels like. Now, I know not all of you are huggers. So some of you come in the church thinking, man, I hope they don't hug me. And you'll get over that. And you're going to get a handshake. You're going to get a pat on the back. But I want to show you something real quick here. Just out of curiosity. Now, I love hugging absolutely everybody. Now, how many people did I hug this morning? Raise your hand. Okay. I see, there's at least half here I didn't get to. Bring it on. But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, Jesus wants us to be involved and touching and being involved. And that's a hugging, a slap on the, just involved in a life. It shows me that the compassion of the Lord, the care of the Lord. Do you remember when the disciples were, people were wanting to bring Jesus, remember the children, so that they could, you know, Jesus could touch them and bless them? And the disciples were like, nope, I'm sorry, Jesus is, I'm paraphrasing here, too spiritual for these little snot-nosed kids. You remember that? And it actually says in the word that, I don't know if I put it on here. I didn't. I took it out for space sakes. But it says that Jesus was indignant about that. And he said something really cool. He said to those disciples, hey. Well, he didn't say, hey, I said that. Let the little children come to me and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never even enter it. And he took the children in their arms. He put his hands on them and blessed them. Isn't that cool? If you work at the school, if you're at the gate, everybody gets a hug when you come in the door. I love that. Now, I know that might not be the politically correct thing to do. So what? Love on them. Hug on them. Let them know in a physical way they're loved. It says he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He carries them close to his heart. Now, this was so funny. I love this. I got this in Israel. It's made of olive wood. And I don't know if you can see the shepherd carrying the sheep, right? And I love that. Just the fact that sometimes sheep need to be carried, right? Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes people are so weak, they're so hurt, they're so injured. Some sheep, they're so damaged that they just can't even walk. And they need to be carried. What's your attitude? What's my attitude? Well, they need to just, you know, do it any... Well, sometimes they don't have the strength. That's when we come in and we carry them just like our good shepherd did. There are times when you have to do that. There are times, you know what, I need to be carried. There are times where I'm out and I'm asking the Lord, fill me. And somebody will come along and just pray for me. Or they'll just do something for me. Oh, man, it's like a lifesaver, you know. Some people are so damaged by other people or situations or churches. They come in here and they're just a broken mess. That's a chance for us to carry them. Isn't that great? Don't have the attitude, wow, I got to do this. Look at the attitude, wow, what a privilege. I can actually carry somebody. You know, in fact, yeah, right over there. So would you bring Natalie the microphone? Thank you.
Forgive me, my voice is gone. But you know what? I think like even Rebecca shared a couple weeks ago, sometimes, you know, it doesn't always have to be a heavy weight on us. Sometimes it's just that one little prayer just to carry them to the next person that the Lord uses.
Yes.
And then they do something and then it just carries them. Yes. Each step, each person doesn't have to. It's not a heavy weight for each person when we're all working together and doing what the Lord wants. Yes. Then we're carrying through them, carrying them through that phase in their life.
That's an awesome word. Now, if you're just looking for me to carry people, I'm getting too tired. I need others carrying. Do you know what I'm saying? We all need to be doing that together. Growing up, spiritually maturing, right? Listen, this is what Galatians 6:2 says. This is for all of us, right? He says, I want you to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Now maybe you just are at the stage where all you can do is just dump your burdens on somebody else right now. And that's just where you're at. But at some point, you got to spiritually mature. You have to ask the Lord, fill me, heal me. Over time, God's going to heal you. And then you, with the comfort that you receive from Jesus Christ, you have to pass that on to others and carry them. Make sense? And I love that it says that it carries him. I don't know if your Bible says the same thing, but it says, your translation, because he carries him close to his heart. That just tells me the compassion of the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, this thing shows him over the shoulder, right? But Jesus is saying, I'm a shepherd that carries people to me, that says, close to the most tender part of me, to my heart. And that means you're going to get hurt sometimes. Probably many times. So ask the Lord, soften my, I was praying that this morning, soften my heart with oil, Lord, of the Holy Spirit. That's the compassion of our Lord. That's the compassion he wants us to have. Amen? He carries him close to his heart. And then it says, he gently leads those that are young or have young. He gently leads. Now listen, God's given us all different personalities. And he's given some of us boldness and great. And if he has, fantastic. But can I just be honest with you? I've watched many people who have the gift of boldness, and I do too. I could be very, but sometimes they're not gentle at all. They're kind of like a bowl in a china shop. And God wants you to have self-control with the Holy Spirit. Listen, these aren't my words. Gentleness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Right? You can be very bold with someone and be gentle and kind in the same way. You can speak bold words of truth to somebody, but do it in a humble, gentle way. Well, you don't understand. I'm just from Jersey. It's how we talk. You don't understand, I've got a prophetic gift, so I just say it like it is. Well, okay, that's if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, I guess, but it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's gentleness. Here's what God says to you and to me, Darren. He says, I want you to be kind of humble and gentle. Does he say that? Wait, what? Oh, he doesn't. You're right. In Ephesians 4:2, he says, be completely humble and what? Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Oh. So Lord, do a work in me. Amen? Help me to be humble and gentle. I want to be bold as a lion, but I want to be gentle as a lamb at the same time. You know what I'm saying? And he says he gently leads those that are young. And I find that really interesting too, because I've spent some time in Ecuador and also in Israel and with my wife, and you'll see shepherds. We don't see many shepherds in Bradenton, Sarasota County. Now, maybe there are, and I just don't know about it. You know what I mean? But I don't see a lot of shepherds shepherding sheep here. Now, when I'm there in Israel, I see that, and I see something. There's a different way that Western shepherds shepherd their sheep than, like, the Middle Eastern shepherds. And the difference is the Western shepherds tend to drive their sheep. You know what I mean? They from behind, you know, like, hey, let's go. You know, and they can beat the sheep into submission, or they can cattle prod the sheep, prock and pull enough. You just do it enough. Okay, I'll just go. God doesn't want you to be a driver. He wants you to be a leader. It's a different way of doing things. He wants you to lead by example. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have a friend who told me this story. I shared a message on this verse, and it was like a decade ago. And I remember her, we were sitting down, and she was telling me the story of how they actually shepherded sheep for a while, her and her husband. And they said, man, they had struggled so much. And they did everything. She was being very honest to get these sheep out of the pen into this. And she's like, finally, we resorted. We were so frustrated with the dang sheep, being so stubborn and so ignorant. She said, we started beating the sheep. Just go! And then they fired. They did. They resorted to a cattle prod. Just go! And you know what? The sheep would not move. And then what they did was they said they called their neighbor. Now, he was actually a master shepherd. I didn't know there was such a thing, but I guess there is. There's a master shepherd. And you know what? He came right over, and he called those sheep,
and he led them out. See, we have a master shepherd. John 10 says that he leads his sheep, right? Psalm 23, verse 2, says that he leads us beside still waters. So he doesn't want you to beat, drive, manipulate, cajole, whatever you want to do with sheep to get your way, to get stuff done. He wants you to lead them by example. Does that make sense, everyone? Dang, look at the time. Okay. Oh, Lord. Okay, so we're going to scoot right along here. Yes, indeed. All right. That's how he wants us to shepherd. Now, we're going to speak a word right now because we're going to anoint in a bit. We're going to anoint Gary as a shepherd. And we're going to anoint Jonathan also as a shepherd. And for those of you who don't know Jonathan and Robbie too, everybody knows Gary, right? Gary, you have a name tag on? Perfect. Excellent. Excellent. Jonathan does too. Good job. Gary has been super faithful in just being a godly man here and ministering people. He's asking, what else can I do? How else can I help? I want to do more. I want to help. I want to minister to people. I want to. And so we meet every week, and every week go over stuff and what we can do and what he can, how he can do it better, and teach and share and minister and counsel. And I just love that. I love that. And God's got a lot more work to do on you, like he does on me. But we're going to anoint him a shepherd. And Jonathan and Robbie, I've known them for many, many years. They're actually older than they look. No. I remember when you guys got married, and I remember little Robbie, just 18, 19, I can't remember now. She was, when we first got married, right, she was leading our worship and our Bible studies many, many years ago. And now they've spent years on the mission field in China. And for those of you who don't know, they're doing missions work here locally. They're doing missions at, they've got Bible studies started at New College. New College! If you can believe that, Ringling. They've got Bible studies at Ringling. MCC, although it's not called MCC anymore. What is it called, Jonathan? SCF, some acronym. And then they just started a new Bible study at USF, right? How many kids do you have at your first Bible study? 40 signed up for the study. Now, just so you know, they were supposed to be here today so we can give it to them. It didn't come in. We're getting them like 30 to 60 more than a Carpenter books. Oh, wow. Because he said over there at New Cut, they go like hotcakes, okay? We've also given them, just this is us as a body. This is where some of the fun evidence that demands a verdict, so we can loan them out to some of those intellectual ones that can really want, I mean, it's like a dictionary. We're also, we've got 1,000 tracks coming in for them. Okay, so they're going to go. So the gospel is going forth from this place, and we're going to anoint them because having that anointing as a pastor is going to be able to open some doors for them in ministry that might not be open for them, and also maybe even help them in financial ways. We're trying to be a blessing to them. And so we're going to do that for them. And then we're also going to say goodbye to somebody we really love that's going to make me cry. Okay. So when we talk, now everybody turn to your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1-7. I'm going to speed through this a little bit, which is what the Lord said I was going to do. So if I linger too long, somebody do this or something. Okay, now, when we're going to go over these things, a leader, an overseer, right? A shepherd, a pastor, whatever you want to call it. When we talk about these things, there's about 15 or 16 different things we're going to go over. Just in 7 verses, real quickly. And you know what? To be blunt honest, what the Bible says here, everybody picks a leader or a pastoral leader or a ministry leader. You know what they pick them on? How much money they have. Oh, you can be a leader in our church, an elder in our church. Oh, hey, you've got great charisma. Oh, we want you to be a leader. Or you're a good influencer. We want you to be a leader. But God is not concerned about all the things. Yeah, you're a good-looking girl, good-looking guy, you're hip, you can talk. He wants somebody's heart and character. We're going to go over 15 things. Do you know all those 15 things that everybody's looking for? Do you know how many of them deal with character and how many deal with ability? Only one deals with ability. And that's being able to teach. One, the rest of them have to do with the heart and the character of a person. Yet nobody picks and notices that these days, even though the Bible says that. So we're going to go over those things shortly, and we can all kind of listen. I'll do it as quick as humanly possible, and then we'll anoint them. Thank you.
What's bad company?
What?
When's bad company?
Okay. Well, here's what I know. There's a saying that goes, as a leader goes, there goes the church. So that means you got a leader who's a bully or is a jerk or is compromising on the side or talks down, but you don't know about it. But that's how manipulator, you whatever you want to say. That's and what I know is bad company corrupts good character. So you want to put leaders in place that's got the right heart and character. And so, and a bad company would be anybody who's leading you away from Christ, his heart and his word and his spirit. There's three things that you need to be a good Christian leader, honestly. So I'll just say this to you guys, but I'll say it to all of you. First, you need to have the mindset of a servant and remember who you work for. So you remember you're there not to lord it over people, you're there to serve them. That's what your job is. And you work for him, right? Not for InterVarsity, not for me. You work for him. But you need to have the mindset of a servant. You need to have the heart set of a shepherd. You need to have the compassion and love. And then you need to have a skin set for you Minecraft people of a rhinoceros. Because people, as they're growing, will say the dumbest, worst, craziest, awfulest thing. And they think they're the only one that's just blessing you with that. They don't know there's 40 other people that week. So that's what you need to be a good leader. Now, Stanley, I saw your hand raised. Did you, is there something?
I've dealt with that a couple of times, and that is a very good, cliche, because it happened to me. I had to discipline somebody. I thought they were a friend, 3 years, and I was being led down a path that I didn't want to go down.
Yes.
And bad company does corrupt a good character.
Yeah, good word.
Yeah. So I had to end a friendship. So if that's what it takes, then
that's what it takes, brother. Amen. All right. In verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, here's a trustworthy saying, folks. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, an episkopos, a bishop, whatever yours might say something to him, an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, that word noble in Greek is kalos. Some of your translations might say it something differently. It might be honorable in your Bible. It might be good. You know, it drives a good. But can I tell you what it means? It means, honestly, beautiful. The word in Greek, kalos, means beautiful. So what God is saying is, hey, if you have a heart on ministering to people, he's like, let me tell you, it's a beautiful thing. It's the same word Jesus used in Luke chapter 21:5, when some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned. Did you get that light, Chris, just for a second? With beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated from God. That's the word. Same word, kalos, beautiful. So he's saying, if you desire that, man, it's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful. Thank you for that. So if he's called you to minister in that way, whether it's children's ministry or youth or whatever, it's a beautiful thing, God says. I love that. Poor Chris. We got to get that automated. Chris, you're going to have good arm muscles by the end of this. It says, now an overseer must be above reproach. Now, does anybody else have anything on their Bible besides that? Above blameless? Okay, that's another good word. Okay, now blameless does not mean sinless. Okay? Jonathan, Robbie, can I just tell you something? I know I love you very much, but I also know you fight. And I also know sometimes you sin. So do you, Gary. You know how I know that? Because I do too. So does he. So do you. We all do. We're sinners. It's not saying that we're supposed to be sinless. The word blameless or above reproach, the Greek word, Onomatopoeia. Is that right? No? No, no, that's the word you told me, and it's like that word. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a long word that sounds like that. The Greek word, basically, it means they can't lay hold of you. Basically, you're going to get accused of stuff. You know what? And here's what the enemy will do, especially if you're trying to live right. Do you know what? He's going to make up stuff. But the bottom line is it doesn't stick. Oh, you're a this, you're a that, you're a blah, 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 blah. It won't stick. It won't lay hold of you. That's what the Greek word means. You're going to be above reproach. Nothing. It's almost like you're Teflon, right? And it can't lay hold of you. So the Bible says you're going to be blameless, above reproach. And basically, you know, people need to see your good works, you know. When the Bible says here, you know, here's a trustworthy saying, you know, an overseer desires a noble work and he must be above reproach. We have to remember also that it's work. I see a lot of people that want to be in ministry because they don't want to work. Well, I just want other people to take care of it for. That's what you're supposed to do. It's work. Some days, can I be honest? You don't know this, but some days, 18 hours. Really? Really? We work three jobs so that we don't have to take money from the church and school. A lot. It's work. Get used to it. That's ministry. It's what he's called you to do. But he wants your light to shine before others that they may see your good work and give glory to your Father in heaven. Acts 20:28 says also, I want you to pay careful attention to yourselves so you'll be blameless. And to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. And as far as that behavior goes, as far as that being blameless, well, I'm just a pastor who gets drunk. No, you're not. It says, look, once you were, that's a new thing, right? It is. Pastors are meeting, and, you know, down in some brewskis and having their church service in bars. And I understand what they're trying to do, be relevant and hip, and that's the big thing. And, oh, you know, Pastor Darren, you're so legalistic. No, I'm not. The Bible says don't get drunk. We'll talk about that in a minute. But look, I got saved out of that. Right? I used to get drunk all the time. I used to get high all the time. I got redeemed from that. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to go back to that behavior. I want to be above reproach. The Bible says in Colossians 1:21-22, once you were alienated from God because of your evil behavior, but now he's reconciled you to Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish, free from accusation. Hallelujah. So be blameless. Don't give people reason to point fingers. The next thing it says in here is I want you to be temperate, self-controlled. And again, that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:28, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. In other words, it lets the enemy come in and out. You don't have self-control in your life, you're going to be doing things, saying things, looking at things, speaking certain ways, right? You're letting the enemy in and out. So do not make sure that you have self-control. And you know what? Self-control can stop me from coming. We had the parenting course that went this last week, this last Thursday. It was great, but can I be honest? I was so exhausted. I didn't want to go. I just wanted to sleep. But my wife was even more tired and more exhausted. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't just throw her in there. And it was a great Bible study. By the end of it, I was like, oh, thank you, Lord, for making. But if I didn't have self-control, I wouldn't have gone. There are some Sundays where I just want to take the Sunday off, just not show. But what has he called me to do? See, that self-control can cause you not want to show up. It says, for God gave a spirit, not of fear, but a power and a love of self-control. And then it says you need to be hospitable. And that's just being friendly, welcoming, heart-centered reception of treatment of guests or strangers. We should all be that way. But that's how he wants you to be, Jonathan. That's how he wants you to be, Gary. Open. I know you open your home. I know that every time you greet people, Gary, it's with love and with compassion. I love that. The Bible says for us, hey, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. By doing so, some people even entertain angels without knowing it. Hebrews 3:2.
and do it without grumbling. Sometimes, oh, I'll open my house up. Do it without grumbling, 1 Peter 4:9 says. Goes on to say, must be able to teach and not given to drunkenness. That able to teach is just preaching the word. If it means you have to spend all night studying so that you're ready for a Bible study, do it. If that means you have to get less sleep, get up, do it. Take the time and then preach the word. Make sure you don't hold back. Make sure you do it strong, because that's what the Bible says. I still remember a guy, Alistair Begg. I remember talking to him. He's a great expositor, although we differ on the Holy Spirit. But yeah, I remember I asked him, I said, will you please pray for me that when I speak, you know, when I preach, that I'll be anointed. And he said, yes, I will. But I remember him saying, preach the word in his Scottish accent. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, or encourage your people with good teaching. That's what you should be doing. Because God says in Isaiah 55, every word that comes out of his mouth will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. Your stories, your personalities, your all that stuff, that's going to fade away, but not God's word. And as far as being drunk, hey, I'm just getting buzzed. Really? Please. Are you kidding me? Now everybody's, well, I just smoke pot, so it's okay. I'm not getting drunk. Please, are you kidding? This is what the Bible says. Look, don't be drunk with wine or high, whatever. Don't, because that will ruin your life. That's pretty clear, don't you think? But instead, try this. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Yes, God, I shouldn't say fill yourself, but yes, God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You really just won't want that stuff. Hezekiah, you have something to say.
Like, I don't remember what the person's name was, but, like, it was the person that created the Salvation Army.
Yes.
In London, and he went to the other side of London where there was a bunch of drunkards and stuff like that. And he didn't go in there and get drunk with them to teach them the Bible. Right. He showed them how you should live with the Holy Spirit. He didn't just go in there and so people could see the difference in him, and right. Because they wanted that.
Yes. And most of the bars shut down on their own, not because he preached against alcohol, just he talked about Jesus. It goes on to say that he should be not violent or not a striker, but gentle. We already talked about that, okay? So don't be going out punching people. Don't be quarrelsome or a lover of money, okay? You don't need to win every argument. Who cares? Let it go. Now, if it's a theological, if it's something that's really against what the word says, you just present it. Whether they listen or not is their own choice. You stand firm on the word, but don't try to win them with an argument, right? Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. You already know that. Clothe yourself with gentleness, the Bible says. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. Don't do that, but be kind to everyone. Able to teach, not resentful. When it comes to money, how many pastors do you think would still have their jobs in Sarasota, Manatee County, if we said, if they made a law that said, hey, you, as a pastor, you're not going to get paid it for anything? I wonder how many pastors we'd really have. I wonder how many of these mega churches would still be have a pastor. You know, that doesn't make me. You should still be ministering whether you make one penny or not. You know how much Gary, anyway. Don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's what the word says. You got it. You know it. I'm going through these a little quicker, but Chris, could you hit the lights for me? Thanks. It says, not a lover of money. Okay, and then it says in verse 4, he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Listen, my kids obey me not because I force them to. Well, maybe when they're little. Yeah, I do. But as they're older, they obey because they respect me. Not because I'm an overlord, but because I want to be an example. Now, if you ask them, they know I don't get everything right. They can tell you that. But I also know that they obey because they see what's really happening.
Now, you can be a good parent and still have a kid go way off course, right? Okay, but you still need to govern them in a godly way, right? One of my kids, as much as I love them, I'd kick them out if something, yeah, they wouldn't repent. And anyway, verse 6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may be conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. And verse 7 says, that's obvious, pride. Don't let him be young in the Lord. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. So that, Colossians 4:5 just says, be wise, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. So everywhere you guys go, whether it's the laundromat, the school, the grocery store, you make sure that you're a witness for him. Will you always be patient, Gary? No. You repent. Will you never get angry, Jonathan? Of course you will sometimes. You repent. Yes. Do you know what I'm saying? You're never going to be perfect, but you, okay, God, please forgive me and handle it the right way. This is the example we're supposed to be. Does that make sense? Okay. So we're going to take and we're going to anoint. Gary, come up here. And I'm just going to anoint you with oil. And we'll give you a little certificate next week, too. If anybody else wants to pray, you guys are welcome. But come on, I'm just going to pray for him. Then I'm going to invite Jonathan up here. And then we're going to send off an amazing family. So you guys would pray with me. All right, I'm going to anoint you with oil. Oh, yeah, do you have a word? Yeah, okay. Sof. You can say whatever you want.
Hopefully it'll be what the Lord wants me to say.
Yep.
Let me see. I was thinking about it, and the passage that came to mind is from Mark 12, where they asked Jesus about the greatest commandment. Right, and the first was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Right? And I admit, I find that fairly easy. I mean, you know, I got to know the Lord over 30 years ago, and he continues to show me his love for me, his love for the people around me, and it makes it very easy for me to love him more, you know, every day. And I think it's endless. You know, if he gives me another 20 years, I suspect it'll still be growing in that 20th year, and that because his love is so great. And that part's easy. The second part was love your neighbor as yourself. And I admit, that's always a little harder because we all fight our selfish flesh. You know, there's times that it's hard for me to be the loving person that the Lord wants me to do. So I'd ask for your prayers that one, I would be obedient, and two, that I would listen. And that because loving people, as Pastor talked, you know, sometimes it's a visit to the hospital, and I don't do that particularly well. Sometimes it's just praying with somebody. Sometimes it's asking them whether they really want to continue with something in their life. And those are hard times to do. And so, you know, pray for my obedience and that I listen to the Lord well.
Amen. Good word. Mary Kate, can you come up here too? I just want to pray over both of you. I'm going to anoint Gary and just pray over you both. All right. Lord, give me the right words. Jesus. Okay. First, I just want to give you guys a hug.
Okay. Yeah, you missed us earlier.
I did.
With me.
I love it. You know why we missed them? They were prayer walking around the building with some other folks. I love that. So let's just pray right now. We're just recognizing what the Lord has already done in you and is doing in you. So Father, I just thank you for Gary, and I ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father and the Son and of your precious Holy Spirit, that you would anoint him, that you would continue the good work that you have started in him, Lord God, that you would seal him through the day of redemption, that you would give him a loving shepherd heart, that you would teach him to be self-sacrificial even more than he is right now, Lord God. You keep raising that bar for him, and you would help him to joyfully accept it, not because he must, but because he's willing, Lord God. I pray for protection over their marriage, Lord God, over their household, Lord God, as the enemy attacks come quick. Lord God. Protect them. Be a shield round about them, Lord God. I ask that you would continue to teach him your word, Lord. You would give him the mind of Christ, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that your words would be on his tongue, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would let them flow in power, Lord God, not because he's articulate or eloquent, but because they come from you, Lord God, and that you would give him a heart to serve others, Lord God, from a pure heart, Lord God. That just like Psalm 78 says, Lord, like David shepherded them with integrity of heart and with skillful hands he led them, I pray in Jesus' name that you will help Gary to have integrity of heart in every way. And Lord, I thank you for Mary Kate, Lord God, and I ask that you protect her as well, as this does mean more attacks, of course, and you would bless this couple and this family, Lord, in ways that I don't even know how to explain and articulate. And I ask that you would continue to do exceedingly abundantly more than they could ever even ask for, imagine, Lord, for the kingdom of God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen, and amen. I love you both. Love you too. All right, Jonathan, Robbie, come up here if you can. Woo-hoo. You can bring the fam up. You can bring the fam up if you want. Doesn't matter. We're pretty cash here. Do whatever you want to do. I was going to make a joke there, but see, that's where I get in trouble. I'm making my little jokes. All right.
This is our hospitality. We're inviting her to church with us.
That's awesome. Now, I just want to let you know that we're just going to pray that same God's anointing over their family. Okay. Gary, I feel like you're supposed to anoint Jonathan, if you don't mind. And then we'll do Robbie as well, too, because they're working together in that ministry. Yeah. So, thank you, sweetie. It's pretty exciting. If you guys would pray for them, you know, and pray for Gary too. Like, honestly, how about Gary? I know you didn't share any of this, but just this past week or two, he's been getting texts. You're a terrible person. I mean, just, you wouldn't even believe. It's just welcome to the ministry. He's like, what is going on? That's welcome.
I knew what was going on. I figured it out. Yeah.
Just unbelievable. It's just, that's what happens. And so just pray for him, but also pray for them. God's doing a great work in and through them. And so we're a part of that work. You guys, the gospel is going out from you guys through them too. And so they're a part of this body of Christ. So we want to pray for them. And I'm just so proud of them. And that's the truth. Do you want to start us off, whatever the Holy Spirit leads, Gary, if you don't mind? I may pray as well if the Lord leads, but just whatever, though.
Yes. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I anoint you, Jonathan, and your ministry.
Yes. Yes.
When Darren was pastor was talking about the various schools that you're ministering at now, what came to mind is that it wasn't strange that recently we've been studying Daniel in the lion's den. Because in a way, you're in the lion's den. And so, Father, just as Daniel went into the lion's den, thanking the Lord, knowing that the Lord would be there with him and protect him and keep the lion's mouth shut. Father, I ask the same anointing on Jonathan and Robin as they go to New College, State College of Florida, wherever they go, Lord God, that they might know that you walk before them, that you will shut the enemy's mouth, because he does have a big mouth, and he thinks that he has big teeth, even though he is a defeated foe. Father, use Jonathan mightily. Use every gift that you've put in him, Lord, and I ask too that that you would encourage him along the way by seeing the fruit of his labor, Lord.
Yes,
and that, because we do need encouragement sometimes, Lord, because sometimes fatigue does attack us. Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do through Jonathan, the lives that will be changed, Lord. Let them be thousands and thousands, a hundredfold, more than that, Lord, 100 times 100-fold. We thank you in advance in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I also just pray for Jonathan. I also anoint him as well in the name of the Father and of the Son and of your precious Holy Spirit. That your anointing would rest upon him, that he would not go the way of his flesh, Lord, or even his ability, but he would go the supernatural way of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, help him to learn to be led totally by your Holy Spirit, Lord, and the joy that comes from that, Lord God, and the rest and peace that comes from that. I pray for his children too, Lord, for protection in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. I pray for Jane. Hi, Junior. Thank you that they're contribution, Lord, and they're in the ministry as well at the school. Pray a blessing on Gabby. Hi, honey. I'm just going to touch you. I know you're not going to like it. I pray in Jesus' name a blessing. And then, Robbie, I pray for you as well. So great, Father, I just thank you for my sister in the name of the Father and the Son and their precious Holy Spirit. I ask for your Holy Spirit's protection and healing upon them, your protection. Just picture a fiery wall of protection around your family. Oh, that's what's coming to mind, a fiery wall of protection. That whatever comes your way, the Lord would just have to go through that fire. And that fire, you see, as just you're defending just your Holy Spirit, your angels, and whatever that is, Lord, that's that fire of your Spirit, Lord, around them. And so I ask for that protection and that blessing, Lord, in the ministry. And I ask that in our powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Bless you. Thank you. Love you. Oh, thank you so much. All right, Junior, get over here. Hi, Gabby. Come here, baby. Hey, put your down. Put down. Okay, so that was pretty awesome. Okay, now we have something terribly sad. No, I'm sorry. All right, so we're also saying, you guys remembered a while ago that we said that we were going to be praying off an amazing, wonderful family. Somebody is working like 14, 18 hours, living in Port Charlotte. For those of you who don't know, this wonderful family has been driving up here for 2 hours every Sunday for almost 2 years now. Down in, I don't know, Port Charlotte or some port. Not the port, but port. And so we're just going to pray. So we're just, I hope in Jesus, if God keeps you down there, that he'll start a church. Or I hope that he gets you a house up here and... whatever he has, we just want to pray for you. And I'm gonna, bro, I just want to say, they can all listen. I love you, and I have the utmost respect for you in every way possible. And I'm going to try to minimize my words. Jerry almost got me crying a couple days ago when she gave me that surprise word from the Lord. But I want you to know, just from my eyes to you, how much I love you and how much I'm so proud of you. And just from where you were in these past years and where you've come, it's just amazing. And so I'm so thankful for you. And I hope in Jesus' name that God would use you to start a church someday, and it will be blessed, and you would have our 100 zillion% support, whether that's now or 10 years from now or whatever the Lord has for you. I love you, man. And Amster, thank you. Amster, some of my most fondest times of ministering were at the little youth group at the Manatee County Youth for Christ when we were ministering to those kids and going out there. I just want you to know I love you, and I just consider you just such a faithful friend. You've both been such faithful servants here at the church, such a blessing in so many ways that probably nobody even knows about. You know, but I want to say thank you and how much I love you and consider you guys friends. And so, and of course, I love your kids as well. Yeah, they're pretty awesome. And I hope to say lovely Lydia to you guys. But so we're going to pray them off too. And Gary, I'm not feeling led if I should pray or you should pray. Do you know? Oh, yeah, you say whatever you want. Yeah, go for it. Yeah, that'll give us a minute to pray.
Well, this is not easy, but I just want to say how much we love everyone here at this church. We've been ministered by everybody, and you know, I came, I think, what, 6 years ago? We're trying to remember. Six or seven. I mean, I had brown hair at the time. And just came with a very heavy, wounded heart and really was praying, Lord, I'm kind of at a dead end here. You know, I need some healing. We came from a really terrible experience and even had, through that experience with the church, we had some we lost some loved ones on the way as well, and really difficult. And so the Lord really brought Darren into my life and really healed my heart and made me whole. And for that, I'm forever grateful for the Lord doing that, but just grateful for Darren being the servant that he is and just devoting time. You know, I know pastors just hear in so much from us in the congregation, you know, and but he took so much time out of his day, out of his family to meet with me really whenever I needed him to meet and really did a work in my life. And so I am very appreciative of that. In fact, you know, when we were reading 1 Timothy about managing your family, you know, it is so important. It's difficult, at least for me, because it is managing is being in and out, day in and day out of Lord, what's your will? What are you wanting me to do? And it really trickles down even to the littlest of the kids. And so with that, I am grateful because with my heart made whole, with my love for the Lord and my eyes fixed on him, it's a really benefit to my family as well for the kingdom of God. And so, again, we ask the Lord, you know, your will be done here. I don't know where we'll end up, but I know where we're at right now, and that is a distance from here. And it's really has caused somewhat of a not a separation, but we have not been able to be committed as much as we want to be because of that distance. The Lord brings us back. Great. I'm all for it. So, and we've been praying.
We are too. Oh, sorry. Yes. Loud. I'm so sorry. Forgive me, Lord.
And so, but we are just at his, we just want his will to be done is where we're at. And so again, I just love each and one of you. I'm going to miss you dearly. I hope that we will visit and be a part. But for now, we really feel like we just have to be down where we're at and be involved with that community down in the Port Charlotte area. So, Aim, you got anything?
Nope, I wore makeup today.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I think I'm okay. But real quick, I will just say. I love you all. You guys are family, and even distance, that doesn't change the fact that you guys are family. We all belong to Christ. We're a family. We're brothers and sisters, and we have cell phones so we can still talk and text. And like Josh said, the Lord's will be done. We don't know the future, so right now we're just kind of in the presence. But we love you all very much.
Love you.
Absolutely.
All right. It will. So pray also for somebody to help lead us in worship now. Gary said he'd lead us a cappella, but I don't think that would be a blessing to anyone. But no, just kidding. Do you feel led? Do you want? I'm sorry. Oh, see, that's my jokiness. Okay. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Nobody get offended by that. Okay. All right. So I'm going to anoint you guys with oil, and we're going to pray a blessing. Oh, okay. I'm going to start with the kids. Put a little oil on you. Just a tiny bit. You won't even notice it. Don't freak out. But I just pray a blessing on him in the name of the Father and Son, lovely Lydia. Father, Son, your Holy Spirit, Lord God. A little shy. Father, Son, your Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I just pray also on Amster. Ah, Lord, give me your words. Holy Spirit, blessing and healing in the name of the Father and the Son of your precious Holy Spirit, Lord God. I thank you for my little sister, Lord. I love her so much, and I just ask that you would take good care of her, Lord God, in everything she does, Lord, and everywhere she goes. I pray for Josh, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I pray a blessing, and I'm going to hold your hands. I don't know why, but I feel like I'm supposed to. So I'm going to do that. Give me your hands. Come on, bring it in. Father, I just want to say thank you for this couple whom I genuinely love. I pray your blessing of protection, Lord. If it's your will, you bring them back. I pray you bring them back, Lord God. And I ask that in Jesus' name. And if it's not, I just pray that they're blessed, Lord God, and that they would be encouraged and you would use them in mighty ways, Lord, elsewhere, Lord. I pray for a protection over their family, Lord. You keep their hearts pure for you and loving, Lord God. Soften them with oil, Lord. Soften their hearts with oil, Lord, and fill them with your Holy Spirit. Give them the mindset of Christ. And I ask for a blessing for my friends. In Jesus' name.
Father, I ask a prayer of protection over Josh, Amy, their family, Lord. I know when they leave us that the enemy will try to attack them, Lord. But they haven't really left us, maybe physically, but not spiritually, Lord. But more importantly, I know that you go with them, and you're the center for them, that they don't rely on any human being, but they rely on you, Lord. And so, Father, we pray your protection over them, their family, their goods, and their future, Lord. And again, as Darren, Pastor Darren says, if it's your will that they come, they're brought back to us, that would be a blessing, Lord. But wherever they go, bless their family and the church body that they tend that they go to at that time. We thank you for all that they've meant to us and all they will mean in the future. In the name of our Savior Jesus, amen.
Amen. Now make sure you guys all give them big hugs if you would, all right? Thank you guys. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus' name.